So let's say hello and good morning to our guest, Sonal Sher, who's in the studio. Yes, that's why I've been in the car park.
Yeah, yeah, well, you have to find a guest these days. Yes. You know it's not as easy at the Winston Churchill School as it used
to. Do you know my directions? If I gave you directions to find us, you know, you'll be still probably wandering around, wondering where you're going. So, yeah, well, that's what we do. So, there we go. So, we're here. You're safely in the studio.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming and picking me up from the gates.
Fine, yeah. So, Nat Peel and St John's and Brookwood Volunteer Support Group. Now, this is something that you set up in 2020, in March 2020. Now, we all know March 2020, I think, is etched on our minds as, you know, that moment when we suddenly went into lockdown. So, this was set up very much as a response to that, wasn't it?
It was actually set up before we were in lockdown.
Okay.
So, it was when the news was coming in from Europe and everywhere else that, you know, something was happening and people were, you know, that there was this strange thing, COVID, that was coming in and was going to come and get us. And I was wondering, you know, is there anything that's happening locally for us? Is somebody doing something? And I think at a point in time, I think it was on the 13th of March, I asked a couple of people, didn't get anywhere. And I thought, you know what, I will just put a Facebook post so on social media, just say, guys, if anybody's stuck and anybody wants help, just, you know, ping me, I'm available to do whatever you need doing. And then I actually shared it on one of our local pages, and I think there were about 60, 70, 80 people just kind of, and that's how it grew. So I realized that, oh my goodness, I need to do a bit more.
You realized at the time, I suppose, that, you know, you saw what was, I guess, kind of preempted what was going to happen, and the fact that, you know, we were going to have this pandemic, we were probably going to be in lockdown, and there will be a lot of people out there that needed help, vulnerable people couldn't get out and do shopping because they'd be isolated and stuff like that.
Yeah, because essentially that was the idea. I knew, because we were obviously listening to world news, that, you know, this was something that was going to affect the vulnerable, needy, especially the older people who were going to be asked to stay in for their own safety. And I wanted them to have somewhere to call, to ring, and so I think it was always a weekend. I put the Facebook post out. I put in a set of an email account where they could email. Then I realized actually not everybody's able to email, so I set up a helpline, which is still running, by the way, after 2 years, so you can still call us. And obviously, sort of, you know, try to go on social media, but just before the lockdown I had a few more volunteers coming and helping me. By then I realized that there are still going to be people who are in no way going to know that we are here. So we did, I think, about 120 different roads locally with leaflets.
Wow.
So we actually printed out leaflets. Everybody just, you know, I built a template and just a really, really simple one. I mean, we're here, that's the helpline, that's email, please call us. And I still remember the first call that I got was from an elderly lady who was very, very suspicious.
You would be, I suppose, wouldn't you? Seeing
I was wondering about that, being on the other side. You get this leaflet through the door and go, you either usually with leaflets, I go, do I need it? No. Oh, yeah, right, maybe I'll give it a call, but yeah.
I did have to kind of, you know, reassure her a bit, but I think after a month or so, there was a message for another gentleman who just said, you know what, when I saw that leaflet through the door, it was literally like a light. So that was amazing.
I mean, yeah, actually putting leaflets physically through people's doors, I mean, that's so important, because, you know, there's this assumption these days that everybody's online and, you know, go to this website, send a text, go on social media, but we're talking about people that are vulnerable, many are elderly, and they may not sort of have access to that sort of technology and social media. So, you know, that's so important, is it, to actually just reach out and put a leaflet through a door, you know?
Yeah, I think that was part of the reason why we were so successful in actually sort of helping as many people as we did, because we got to them just before lockdown. At the same time, there was an article in the newspaper as well, because they wanted to know what we were doing, and I think that also actually helped us sort of, you know, people wanted to know that it's legitimate, you know, you get like you know, you said, there's so much stuff that comes through, and thankfully it worked, and, you know, we were able to.
Absolutely, yes. And a lifeline for many people that just found that they need help with those everyday things and suddenly, you know, not able to leave the house. And it's a really uncertain and really scary time for people, particularly in vulnerable positions. So you went out there, you put leaflets through doors, went on social media, spread the word about what you're doing. How did the initial response for volunteers go for you?
It was absolutely incredible. I think you probably know as well that throughout the country there was this incredible response from volunteers where, you know, very kind of thousands of those micro organizations sort of just sprung up where people just wanted to do something
because
we were put in such a weird and unique situation where sort of control that we had nothing under control. So there was one thing people wanted to do was just try and actually do something that actually made them feel that they were making a difference.
Absolutely. I think as well, it really brought out the best. I mean, sort of stories from up and down the country of people doing things in their community. We had probably the most challenging time of our life over the last 2 years with everything's been going on, but also little pockets of positivity and hope and really kind of lovely stories of people going out and doing things in their community, and you must have seen a lot of that yourself.
It's just been incredible. I think part of the reason I kept going, because I had still had a full-time job, children, everything else sort of going as well, was the fact that you could see how much it meant to people, not just to people who we were helping, but just to volunteers themselves.
Yeah.
It's just really, really empowering, and it makes you happy. You don't actually, you know, we all strive to be happy, and this is just something that's just so natural.
And I can tell, speaking to you, about the passion you have for, you know, community and volunteers and things like that. So we're going to talk some more about that. It's really interesting to hear what you've been doing and also look into the future as well. But we're going to take a break.
From joined this hour by Sally O'Shea, who's from the, can I get this right this time, the
Jones, good luck,
Nath Hill and Brookwood Volunteer Service. Hey!
So
possibly.
I'm really, really sorry about the long name. With a relaunch, the name will be much shorter, I promise. But at that point in time, it was just to
getting it out there, wasn't
it? And I didn't really think about a name.
It's good. It says what it says it what does. It means, doesn't it?
You know. Does on the tin. But then we did actually help people throughout working. We've almost never said no to a request. If I could find a volunteer, you know, for someone across, you know, in different parts working, we would just say yes. So that was.
I was going to ask you about that actually, in terms of when you first set it up. I imagined you'd be supporting and helping a certain number of people in certain ways.
Yeah.
Has it turned out how you expected, or have you been doing much more than you thought?
It's, you know, like I said, we've never said yes. So obviously, we've had all sorts of requests. We've had requests for dog walking. There's quite a lot. There's actually a volunteer who did this twice a year. Twice a day for almost a year.
Oh, wow.
Which is just amazing, amazing commitment. And she was actually in a documentary for the BBC as well. So we've also had somebody come in and play the violin for a lady. It was her birthday, and obviously we knew it was just the old couple, elderly couple, that you know, there'd be nobody there. So I needed to drop some milk anyway, so I just took a cake and we had a surprise happy birthday for her.
Wow.
So I just thought it'd be nice, and we tried to do little things, you know, people writing little notes and cards to each other, and we were kind of delivering them when we needed to do other things.
And that's almost as important, isn't it, than the, you know, the practical help, you know, doing shopping, pick up prescriptions, you know, just being there for each other and spreading positive messages and happiness. And I think we all need that at the moment, don't we?
Oh gosh, definitely, with everything else that's going around the world. I think part of the reason most of us carried on doing this for such a long time was because we could see that there was this need. You know, everybody was scared. I was scared, but you were scared as well.
Absolutely, yes. It's the uncertainty, wasn't it? Not knowing exactly what was going to happen, and being in this situation. We've never been in this situation before.
Absolutely. And prescription, you know, from prescriptions to food. Yeah. You know, all that was that needed to be done, that was essential, but there was all these other things that we were doing. There was a care call service that I started, where I had a team that was dedicated to just calling people and speaking to them, which was just, you know, amazing.
Yeah, and when we came out of restrictions and they started to ease, I mean, was it kind of a decision, right, you're going to carry on, there's still a need, or did you kind of, I don't know, speak to your volunteers and think, you know, shall we carry on, what should we do?
Yeah, I essentially did do that because we are sort of still a community, grassroots community group. So we do what people want to do. So yes, I will lead from the top. I'll just suddenly come up, oh, you know, let's do that. And I've been lucky enough for people to say, yeah, that's a great idea, let's do it. But to carry on the work that we have been doing as a community, there needs to be a consensus that, you know, yes, this work is genuinely sort of needed. And for that, we need volunteers.
And you've actually expanded what you do. I mean, you say you never say no to requests, but I mean, you've done things like provide over 130 pairs of socks for York Road Project. You've done work with Your Sanctuary and also art kits as well. Now, there's a very special story behind that, wasn't there?
Yes. So I just wanted to fundraise because one of the things that I realised was there was a young family. I think if the lady is listening, she'll know who I'm talking about, who was stuck at home with quite vulnerable children, and she kept just saying, you know, need something to do. And I thought it'd be really lovely for her to have just, you know, a bag full of goodies, painting stuff, drawing, paper, pencils, etc., etc. So I happened to sort of make chutneys as a hobby, so I just thought, you know, I'll just sell them.
Okay.
Well, get people to donate, essentially, not sell them. So I just said, they're here. If you could donate something, I'll just buy some art kits and then take it to people. And you can nominate people that you think would benefit from it.
Okay. So what sort of people would be benefiting? You know, if people on their own, I suppose.
So it's people from their own, people who actually like drawing. Mm. I had a young lady email me and she wanted to nominate her nan, who loved to draw. Mm. So things like that. And we just drop it. So with this, you know, I couldn't have generated so much with the sort of few bottles of chutney that I had. But so sadly, we had a volunteer who passed away, and her family wanted to do something in her memory, and they generated they did a fundraiser separately, and they donated that money to us, which was absolutely amazing. Okay. So I could actually get tons of stuff in bulk, and you know, had people sitting down on the floor in my garage, you know, trying to sort stuff out. So it just made it a lot bigger, and we could actually donate to the local schools. We actually donated the art kits to Your Sanctuary as well, and obviously to people who were nominated.
That's really good. I mean, that must give you that feel-good factor as well, you know, knowing that you're helping people across the community in so many different ways. So we are where we are now. You know, things are, restrictions have been lifted. We're kind of, I don't know, getting back to normal, as whatever normal may be. I mean, where do you see sort of what the work you're doing locally, where do you see that going in the future?
So at the moment, I have been asking, like I said, I've been asking volunteers about, you know, would you like us to continue this work? And I'm quite aware that we're all tired as well. There's this fatigue that's set in. So I've been talking to them, and people definitely want something happening within the community. Yeah. And part of the reason why I had put a social media post up the other day was just to get a feel about what is it that people think is lacking. We have set up an organization, a CIO, which is a charitable organization. I have other trustees now who are amazingly sort of, you know, helping me out with the bits I don't like to do.
Okay, delegating. I like that. I like
that. Yeah, well, that's a good thing to do.
Very good.
Paperwork mostly. And actually, you know, sort of due diligence, everything else. And actually, we're talking about currently what is it that we would like to do, because we don't want to duplicate work that other charities are doing already. Yeah. So at the moment, we are there, we're available, the lines are still open. But I think what we're going to do next is try to figure out what the need is. Mm-hmm. So from what I see, there are two specific areas that are coming up, which is the elderly, having some kind of support for the elderly. Even with you know, everything else that's available, there's still a gap there. And something for young adults, which as a parent of, you know, boys, teenage boys, is quite vital for me because I feel there isn't enough. So that's personally what I would like to do, but I'm trying to get everybody together just to sort of get to a consensus.
Okay, so sort of have that conversation and discuss what's needed going forward. And there is still a need. And I think, as I said earlier, anything that this pandemic's taught us is, you know, there are some decent people out there that care about the area in which they live, and that's just really evident from hearing about what you do.
It's been absolutely amazing, just the amount of time, effort, people have been so selfless, and it really, really, you know, makes you think that, you know, I'm really lucky to be living where I'm living, because not every community has done it.
So I'm
very lucky to be living in Woking, because the community spirit I've seen here has just been absolutely brilliant.
So if anyone listening this morning is thinking, you know, they've got something they'd like to say,
it or sounds maybe like, amazing, I want to be part of it.
How do we get involved, and how do we have our say?
Well, you two have my number and my email, so you can always volunteer.
Nicely done.
So the email address is wokingvolunteers@gmail.com. It's one word, wokingvolunteers. You can get to me through social media, but the best way is email. There is all still a helpline which is there for emergencies. We are still giving people a call. I feel like even if there's one person that's calling us for help, and there's a volunteer
who
says
it's worth it, that one person.
It's still worth it. So the helpline is 01483-380801. Still up and running. Email, I regularly check it. So if anybody has any questions, they want to volunteer at the time, they have any suggestions to sort of a path forward, you know, or any help that they can give us, it'd be more than welcome.
Hey, so it's been really nice to hear about, you know, just something positive to come out of the last 2 years. There's been so many negatives, and I think it's so important to cling on to the positives in life, and that's definitely become evident talking to you. So thank you so much.
And you mentioned the relaunch and things, so when you've got more details and you've got everything, all your suggestions together, do come back and talk to us again, because we'd love to follow and keep an eye and be part of things.
Thank you, Matt. That'd be amazing. It's something we're working on. I'm just trying to get my head around, you know, do we need a website?
Working out all those logistics. Find yourself a volunteer who knows about websites.
Yeah, please, just you can make an announcement now.
Anyone knows about websites, get in touch. But thank you. It's been really good to talk to
you.
And good luck with everything for the future.
Radio Woking.